Hello, ahlan wa sahlan, and welcome to another episode of Arab Voices, coming to you from the studios of KPFT Houston since 2002. Houston's community station, 90.1 FM and FM HD1. This is Saeed, executive producer and host of Arab Voices. This show is syndicated and it airs on other radio stations in different cities in the US and Europe. In this episode of Arab Voices, episode number 1074, I will air the remarks of four esteemed Palestinian Christian leaders from Bethlehem, Palestine, who spoke in Houston, Texas, at an event organized by Churches for Middle East Peace and Fuller Seminary, Houston. I will air the remarks of Dr. Varsin Agapikian, the Reverend Dr. Mitri Rahib, the Reverend Dr. Munder Isaac, and Dr. Jack Serra. Their talk explores how Palestinian Christian theology engages with biblical notions of the land and its inhabitants. But before I do that, I'd like to ask for your support and contributions to KPFT, this unique commercial-free Houston's community station, because KPFT is currently in membership drive, and that is a great opportunity to upgrade your listenership to listener sponsor and become a member of the KPFT family. KPFT is mostly financed by listeners like you, and it does not rely on the corporate world to operate, so please give us a call right now at 713-526-5738, and make that tax-deductible contribution to support your community radio station. That's 713-526-5738. You can also make a pledge online at kpft.org. This station, KPFT, is unique in so many ways. It offers a diverse range of programming, like this program, Arab Voices, that has been on KPFT for over 21 years. Yes, 21 years of weekly programming. Hundreds of topics and over 1,000 expert guests appearing on this program from around the globe. I interview guests on this show, and I also attend events and lectures, record them, and air them. Several radio stations syndicate Arab Voices in different states in the US and even in a couple of cities in Europe. Arab Voices is an award-winning independent radio talk show that aims at bringing the truth, facts, and realities to the wide and diverse range of listeners. It debunks many of the stereotypes, myths, and false information disseminated by certain media outlets, some politicians, and others. There is more information about Arab Voices and even a list of all guests that appeared on this program, over 1,000 of them, on our website, arabvoices.net. There is also an archive section online for listening on demand to any of the previous shows. So if you appreciate what this station has been doing, I ask you to support it and keep Arab Voices and other programs on the air. Please make that call and make a pledge of any amount, whether it's $60 or $360. Call 713-526-5738 or make a pledge online at kpft.org. Your support is greatly appreciated. With all the things that are happening in the world today and the overwhelming information you are getting from different radio stations, TV channels, countless internet websites, and social media, you really want to understand what is happening and why. You don't want to rely on those commercial stations that are sponsored by paying corporations and others who try to push out misinformation. You want to know the real truth, and that's what KPFT offers. Please call now, 713-526-5738, or if it is more convenient, use our website, kpft.org. It is safe, secure, and easy to do. If you enjoy the variety of shows this Houston's community station 90.1 FM KPFT brings you, but aren't yet a member, please join us right now and become a member. It is people just like you that makes all this possible. Call now to pledge your support, 713-526-5738, or give online at kpft.org. Thank you very much. On February 16, 2023, Churches for Middle East Peace and Fuller Seminary, Houston, organized a talk for four esteemed Palestinian Christian leaders from Bethlehem, Palestine, on the topic Christian Theology in the Palestinian Context. In this episode of Arab Voices, episode number 1074, I will air their remarks. The four speakers are Dr. Varsin Agapikian, an author who directed several national studies and authored numerous manuals, articles, and national reports on Jerusalem, education, youth, and women. She is a founding member of several non-governmental organizations and forums and currently serves on the board of Dar el-Kalima University in Bethlehem, Palestine. Dr. Munther Isaac, Academic Dean of Bethlehem Bible College in Palestine and Director of the Christ at the Checkpoint Conference. He is an author and pastor of Christmas Evangelical Lutheran Church in Bethlehem, Palestine. The Reverend Dr. Mitri Rahib, whom I've had on this show before, he is the founder and president of Dar el-Kalima University in Bethlehem, Palestine, and the co-founder of Bright Stars of Bethlehem. Dr. Rahib is the author and editor of 40 books, the most widely published Palestinian theologian to date. And we will also hear from Dr. Jack Serra, the president of Bethlehem Bible College and an ordained minister in the Evangelical Alliance Church in the Holy Land. In their remarks, they talked about their perspectives and their take on what's happening in Palestine, the Christian Palestinian population, the plight of Palestinian Christians and their experience living under occupation, oppression, discrimination, injustice, and dehumanization. They also talk about Palestinian Christian theology, Christ at the Checkpoint, the new Israeli government, the rise of Israeli incitements and incidents against Palestinian Christians, and their call for American Christians, evangelicals, activists, leaders, pastors, and theologians, and much more. I attended that event and recorded it. Let's listen in, and first we will hear brief remarks from the organizers of the event, Alexis Bisetti with Fuller Seminary Houston, Wayne Park, Chancellor of Fuller, Texas, and Lauren Draper, Middle East Fellow at Churches for Middle East Peace.
I am Alexis Bisetti, and I wear a few hats here at Fuller. I started off about 3 years ago as an MDiv student, so I'm on my way out, I hope, in that role. I've also served on the Student Council, and then just now entered into an event coordinator role here. Before we get too far into it, I want to invite Wayne Park up. He is the Chancellor of Fuller, Texas, and I'm honestly just so grateful to him for when I said, hey, I've got this crazy idea. I met some folks in Palestine. Can they come and share at Houston? He said, absolutely. So Wayne, would you come and share just a little bit about Fuller, Texas?
Yeah, sure. Hello, everybody. My name is Wayne Park, and I want to welcome you to our campus of Fuller Theological Seminary, also to our distinguished guests. When Alexis first shared this to me, I expressed great enthusiasm, as she can attest, and we're really excited to have you here. For all of you who are visiting, I don't know if this is your first time to this campus. Outside of California, we have a campus, and we are here in Houston. And so we offer master's degrees and doctorate degrees. And if you have any interest, we have certificate offerings as well. If you have any interest in theological education, I'd love for you to speak with myself or with our team. Jacqueline is here. She is our professor of preaching, as well as leading our Master of Arts in Chaplaincy. So if you have an interest in chaplaincy, she is the person to talk to. So once again, welcome. I hope you enjoy your evening, and I would love to see you again and again.
Thanks, Wayne, so much. So before we pray and get started, I just want to say that this is a joint event being co-hosted by Fuller, Texas, and Churches for Middle East Peace, which might be how most of you found out about this. And so in just a moment, Lauren Draper is going to come up. She is the new Middle East Fellow at Churches for Middle East Peace. And I can just imagine that the team is so excited to have you, Lauren. I just already know this is going to be a really wonderful addition to their team. So I want to introduce Lauren before I pray. She has actually her bachelor's in Arabic and Middle East Studies from the University of St. Andrews in Scotland. And then she's worked in youth ministry before she moved to Jerusalem. And then she's going to be stationed in the Middle East, is that correct? Where she's going to continue doing the good work of CMEP, which she'll share about in just a moment.
Hi, everyone. My name is Lauren Draper. I am the current Middle East Fellow stationed in East Jerusalem, which is Israel-Palestine, and I am now here today to represent Christians or Churches for Middle East Peace here in Texas. If you haven't heard about Churches for Middle East Peace, We are a coalition of more than 30 national church communions and organizations working to encourage and engage in U.S. policies that actively promote just and a lasting and comprehensive resolutions to the conflict in the Middle East. Our board is comprised of churches and congregations from all over the U.S., from Catholic, Orthodox, Protestant, Evangelical, and peace-building church traditions, who together set CMEP's policy positions and our peace-building work in the Middle East. We say a lot that our work is to elevate, educate, and advocate. So to elevate voices of Palestinian Christians and Palestinian leaders, as well as Israeli peace builders who are working towards this peace that CMEP envisions. And we also work to educate people in the U.S. about what's happening in the Middle East because it can feel huge and overwhelming. And our work is to try to bring these voices to you here in the U.S. And then finally, instead of leaving at a place of despair at the current situation, we hope to advocate for changes in peace policy, in policies at the U.S. Senator level so that we can advocate for change in the current conflict. So my role as the Middle East Fellow is to sort of work to bridge this gap, to bring to you my perspective as a Kansan who's living all the way over in Jerusalem right now, and as someone that came from an evangelical background, became aware of what was happening in Israel-Palestine, and I'm really, really fervently trying to share that with people in the U.S. CMEP works to mobilize U.S. Christians to embrace a holistic perspective, to be advocates of equality and human rights, for Palestinians, Israelis, and all people of the Middle East. So today we're going to be introducing four amazing, amazing Palestinians who will be sharing their perspective and their take as Palestinians on what's happening right now in Israel-Palestine. So I'm going to come up to introduce them each before they speak because there's four different speakers and I don't want to overwhelm you with all of that. But before I close, I just want to thank so much Alexis Pusetti for setting this all up, Fuller Theological Seminary here in Texas for having us. I know this is a very unique perspective to share, so I thank you guys for welcoming us here. I'm really excited to hear what these speakers have to say. So to begin, we're going to have Dr. Varsin Akharbekian, who has received her master's degree in Indiana at Purdue University and her PhD at the University of Pittsburgh. And she serves on the board at Dar HaKalima University in Bethlehem. So we're thrilled to have you, Dr. Varsin, and we welcome you.
Thank you very much, and thank you for taking the time to come and meet with us today and listen to the plight of Christian Palestinians. I come to you as a grandmother and somebody who has lived all my life under occupation. And when I say occupation, I very much talk about oppression, discrimination, and dehumanization. And this is literally what I feel and what I have experienced throughout all my life. We've had occupation for many, many years, too long. And today we have a new government in Israel. This new government in Israel is an extension of the previous governments, but more overtly and aggressively trying to implement policies of keeping us under occupation. And for me, as a Palestinian Christian, I think the situation is the most dangerous ever today than it has been before. It's not because all of a sudden we have this new government and we have these policies. No, there are an extension of the policies that we've had before, but as I said, they are more aggressively implemented today. So today, even the strongest supporters of Israel are concerned. Even the United States has sent messages to the state of Israel saying, you know, you guys, you really need to think about what is going on. Yesterday, the Israeli government and the Israeli parliament has approved the approval of 9 more settlement outposts, and they have tabled around 18,000 new housing units in settlements built in occupied territory. When I say occupied territory by international law, it is occupied and it's illegal to move the occupier's population to an occupied territory, and it's illegal to change it demographically or on the ground. So even the strongest supporters are voicing their concerns, whether they are church leaders or whether they are states such as the United States, France, Italy, and so forth. We've had in the past year or two several very strong statements by heads of churches talking about what is happening to Christians in Palestine. The numbers are dwindling by the day. Today in Palestine, Israel and Palestine, we have less than 2% Christians. In the Palestinian territory, we have less than 1% Christians. And we're not talking about any place. We're talking about Palestine, where Christianity started. And in 20 years from now, if conditions continue to be as what they are right now, we might end up with churches becoming as museums with nobody there, no Christians in Palestine, except for the clergy who are taking care of the churches as museums. So the challenges are monumental. Today, we also see incitement against Christians on the rise. And this is a rather new development. We've had several cases in the past 15, 20 years. But if we look at the statistics and we look at the incidents from 2019, 2021, and 22, we see a trend of the incitement on the rise. And if I look, I don't have the slides. It would have been much better with the slides, but from whatever I remember. In 2022, for example, there were several incidents of takeover of a Christian land owned by the different patriarchates, specifically the Greek patriarchate. And we had, I'm sure you've all seen footage from the funeral of the Palestinian Christian journalist, American journalist, Shireen Abu Aqle. And you've seen how the procession was attacked, and it was in a Catholic hospital, the St. Joseph Hospital. There was also an attack on the Dormition Abbey. There were several attacks on Palestinian Armenian priests in procession from the Armenian Patriarchate to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. In 2023, in the first 2 months of the 2023, that is January and February, until the, let's say, the 15th of February, we had more incidents, incitement incidents, than the whole year of 2022. And this rings a bell, because if in the first 2 months we had so many incidents, then we foresee that definitely we will have many more incidents. And this is part and parcel of the acceptance of this new Israeli government and the policies of the new Israeli government. If those policies and those acts of the new government, just like the previous government, because the new government is no different than the previous government, but as I said, it's more aggressive. If it continues with impunity, then it will continue to exercise whatever and implement whatever policies it sees fit as an occupier. And we end up as Palestinians being most affected. So in 2023, on the first day of the year, we had settlers attacking a Protestant cemetery on Mount Zion, destroying some of the tombs, breaking the crosses. On January 5th, we had the Armenians woke up and saw several hate slogans written on the Armenian Patriarchate. The slogan said, death to Arabs, death to Armenians, death to the Gentiles, go home, this is not your country. This is something new. This is a new development in terms of incitement. We have seen also attempt at burning one of the Christian churches in the Via Dolorosa. We've seen incidents, several incidents on spitting on priests in the procession. We've had one incident of an Armenian priest being attacked at the Holy Sepulchre. We've also seen taxation being imposed on church property. They tried this few years ago. I think it was in 2018 when they tried to tax church property, which is exempt from taxation. This has been the case for ages. So the Church of the Holy Sepulchre was closed for 3 days with a decision by the heads of the churches in protest of the decision. The decision was put on hold. It resurfaced again this year, trying to impose some taxation on property owned by the Latin Patriarchate. And if they were to approve this taxation, the property, which is a hotel, would have closed because the amount is monumental. So if this taxation issue surfaces again, then we know that a lot of churches will be in big trouble. The permit system, as a Christian who lives in the West Bank, for example, to be able to celebrate with the Christian community on, let's say, Easter, go for the Holy Friday, Holy Saturday, and Easter, my children and any other Christian or Palestinian would require a permit to access Jerusalem, access an occupied territory. And if you're not granted that permit, you cannot access Jerusalem, and you're denied celebration. So there is this denial of freedom to worship as a Christian or a Muslim. I'm talking about Palestinians in general. But for Christians, if we want to, as I said, access Jerusalem, it has to be through a permit system, and the permit system is extremely selective. You're not granted a permit system just because you need a permit system. They might give one person from the family, the rest of the family doesn't get a permit system, so the family opts not to go. So Christians merely seeking worship are denied that right. I can go on and on the plight of Christians and Palestinians in general, but what I'm trying to convey today, that for the sake of Palestine, for the sake of Israel, something needs to be done. This occupation has been going for too long. It's in the best interest of the two people to live together on the one land we're destined to live in. And it will only happen if there is peace and if there is reconciliation and if we Palestinians live in dignity and are given our right to self-determination. Thank you very much. I'll stop here. 10 minutes.
Thank you so much, Dr. Achabekian. Heartbreaking and also really informative. Thank you very much. Next up, we have the Reverend Dr. Jack Serra, who comes to us as the president of Bethlehem Bible College, a really incredible figure in Palestine who was an activist in the First Intifada before he came to faith and has now transitioned into being a faith leader in Bethlehem, both as a ordained minister in the Evangelical Alliance Church in the Holy Land and also as the president of Bethlehem Bible College. So we welcome Jack Serra up.
Thank you, Lauren, and we are so honored to be at this campus of Fuller Seminary. Dr. Wayne, thank you so much for having us here. We're honored as well to be able to interact with you, all of you, which basically is encouraging to see that people are concerned about what's happening in the Holy Land, and specifically in light of what you already have heard from Dr. Varsen about how Christians are really struggling to stay in our country. I mean, not a lot of people know that Christians in Palestine even exist. You know, a lot of times I come and speak here at churches in America. Now, I have to tell you the truth, you know, I am an evangelical Christian. And sometimes being an evangelical Christian is not the easiest thing in the Middle East because of how evangelicals have been taking steps toward almost not peace, but war in the Middle East. Forgive me, but this is actually the fact on the ground, to the point that when people hear the word evangelical in the Middle East, they equal it to such a fanatic group of people that what they only want in the Middle East is Sodom and Gomorrah. That's at least what is portrayed for us on the ground, in Jerusalem, in the West Bank, in Gaza, in Palestine, in Israel. And somehow, everything that's happening there fits into a certain theological paradigm dispensational, progressive dispensational, Christian Zionist, whatever you want to call it, which basically leads to a point to believe that, you know, whatever happens, happens. Que sera, sera, you know, this is actually God's will. He allowed Israel to be created. He actually created Israel in 1948. That's what they say. I don't say that. You know, I don't believe it, actually. But that's what they say. And because God created Israel, then that basically is God's plan. So let them do what they do. And it gives Israel, gives occupation, gives the forces, the military forces, a green light to do whatever they want to do. And specifically with the people of the land like ourselves. You see, my grandfather, my father, myself, and hopefully not my son, we all have been experiencing wars, conflict, replacement, displacement, kicked out, you know, our houses were taken, etc. From difficulties that if I continue on talking and talking, it just draws a dim picture about as well the future. And that's what not we want. This is not our purpose for being here. I mean, we're visiting with churches, talking with leaders, and specifically here in the U.S., about how evangelical churches in particular, I would say, but Christians in general, could be engaged in bringing a just peace. Not in the whole Middle East, because, you know, we're talking about our land, this small piece of land that is barely, you know, the size of the smallest state in the U.S., where we want to live in peace and we want to move and live freely and have our kids go out to their schools and to their colleges to study without being worried that one day they'll be ostracized against or being discriminated against. So the questions and the big, large questions that comes to my mind, and I'm sure to all of us, is there hope for the Holy Land? Is there hope for the Holy Land? The Holy Land, you know, which basically was the start, which was the place where Christianity was born. You see, I was born in Jerusalem. My parents' house still is in the old city of Jerusalem. And as a little child growing up there, I had no clue that my family history included a lot of suffering because my family just wanted to live. They just wanted to grow us, me and my siblings, in peaceful atmosphere where they want us to study and just go on with our life's work and make life. Yet the realities on the ground just always comes in your face that it's different. You know, I think Lauren shared that, you know, in the first intifada, I was activist. Not sometimes, you know, a lot of us Palestinians are activists, sometimes by choice and sometimes without choice, because this is the reality on the ground. You'll be walking on one of the streets, and lo and behold, you'll get picked up by Israeli soldiers, beaten, and that's my case, beaten, you know, by 5-6 of those soldiers, taken to the police station, being interrogated for things that I didn't do. To the point that, you know, you say in your heart, you know what? Next time they're going to take me to the police station, they better take me for something that I did. And it continues on because basically it causes a ripple effect. It causes some sort of, I don't want to say a cycle of violence, because the reaction of the Palestinians, whether it is, you call it violent or basically pessimistic, whatever, is as a result of this pressure for over 100 years of being, your land being taken, you know, your life is being suffocated, you know, and basically you're squeezed into a corner where you want to react. Some of us react violently, and some of us, like us, we want to react in a peaceful way, but at the same time, we want to call out to the world, please help us. Please help us. I mean, if we believe there should be someday a peace in the Middle East, all of us should be concerned. And particularly, with no prejudice, with all the respect to the majority of our people, the Muslims, also we should be concerned about the Christians in that land. You know, the Christians in that land, and you'll be hearing more and more from my colleagues, we don't even make up 1% of our all total, the total population of our own people. And that 1% is decreasing. Prior to 1948, it was even almost like 10%. And from that day till today, it's dropping little by little. It's like you're bleeding. You know, take, for example, Gaza. Gaza used to have 4% or 5% of its total population, maybe Christians. Nowadays, we're talking about a maximum number of maybe 800 to 1,000 only. I mean, it's 2 million people. So it's a difficult and a hard place to live. And sometimes a lot of Christians feel, you know, we're not just particularly highlighting the plight of the Christians, because what the Christians are suffering with and struggling with is the same thing that what all of our people are struggling with there. And that's why we're calling particularly evangelicals in America to get concerned about this situation, to pray, but more than prayer we need. We need prayer, but we need active voices to speak out prophetically to the current realities that are going on in the Middle East. And specifically, as your brethren, your sisters and brothers who are struggling in the Middle East need your support and need you to speak out against, you know, the injustice that we are been struggling with. Sadly speaking, what we see from our angle, if we live in Jerusalem, if we live in Bethlehem, what we are seeing, we're seeing voices that say 70 million, 80 million evangelicals in the U.S. support the injustice that we are facing. Is that true? You tell me. But at least this is the fact that comes across the air to Jerusalem. That there are over 70 to 80 to whatever million number of people in the U.S. supporting injustice, supporting the occupation, supporting the military rule, and supporting discrimination against me as an evangelical, again, living in Jerusalem. And it puts me in a place where I want to defend my Christianity, I want to defend my evangelicalism, yet, you know, I'm almost like shorthanded. And we need people to say, no, this is not true, because I don't believe it is true. I think Christians in the U.S. are concerned about peace, and many more are really even changing their attitudes and their hearts and their prayers so that they will see things happening differently and God's kingdom will come with his love, with his peace towards the Middle East. But we need people to move on and do something. Theologians, pastors, leaders, activists, any of us that's able to speak out and write and share and even open up the scriptures to say that the scriptures does not justify what's happening to the Palestinians nowadays. I think we can do it, but we need people to move on. And we trust that some of you might do that. Thank you so much for listening to us. We'll be interacting more with questions. And thank you for listening to me. God bless you.
Thank you so much, Reverend Sarah.
You're listening to Arab Voices, coming to you from the studios of KPFT Houston since 2002. This is Saeed, executive producer and host of Arab Voices. What we are listening to are the remarks delivered by four esteemed Palestinian Christian leaders from Bethlehem, Palestine, who spoke in Houston, Texas at an event organized by Churches for Middle East Peace and Fuller Seminary, Houston. Shortly, we will continue listening to the remaining remarks. I'd like to remind you that KPFT, Houston's community station, is currently in fund drive, and because KPFT relies on your support to operate, I am asking you to please call us right now and make a tax-deductible contribution. During this membership drive, please make a gift in support of the wide variety of shows that matters more than ever on KPFT. Please give online at kpft.org or call 713-526-5738. Members are the single most important source of funding for 90.1 FM KPFT. Why don't you call right now to make your membership investment and become a part of that important source? 713-526-5738, or you can give online at kpft.org. And if you make your membership a sustaining one, you'll be supporting the station for years to come. 713-526-5738 or kpft.org. This program, Arab Voices, has been on KPFT for over 21 years, coming to you every week covering various topics with over 1,000 expert guests appearing on this program from around the globe. I interview guests on this show, and I also attend events and lectures, record them, and air them. Several radio stations syndicate Arab Voices in different cities in the U.S. and even a couple of cities in Europe. So if you appreciate what the station has been doing, I ask you to support it and keep Arab Voices and other programs on the air. Please make that call and make a pledge of any amount, whether it's $60 or $300. Call 713-526-5738 or make a pledge online at kpft.org. Your support is greatly appreciated. Let's continue listening to the remaining remarks delivered by four esteemed Palestinian Christian leaders from Bethlehem, Palestine, who spoke in Houston, Texas at an event organized by Churches for Middle East Peace and Fuller Seminary Houston on February 16, 2023, which I attended and recorded.
Next, we will be hearing from the Reverend Dr. Munther Isaac, who is the Academic Dean at the Bethlehem Bible College. You will find a lot of speeches and amazing work from Dr. Reverend Munther Isaac on his Christian Christian Zionist ideology, on combating and discussing Christian Zionist theology. And hopefully he's going to bring some of that to us today. So thank you very much. Welcome to the platform.
Thank you. Thank you. Good evening. And thank you for coming to hear us and to learn more about Palestinian Christians and also Palestinian Christian theology. I will try to put on both my pastor's hat, I'm a pastor in Bethlehem, and also my theologian's hat, as someone who engaged with the Bible from a very, very early stage. I've always loved the Bible. I read it from cover to cover for the first time when I was 13 years old. This is how passionate I have always been about the Bible. But I've also been always troubled about the Bible because one of the earliest questions I could ask is, you know, does God accept this? Is this what the Bible says? As my colleague, Reverend Jack, just shared about several theologies that impact our realities, whether we like it or not, theology has been part of the problem in our land, has been part of the discussion. Oftentimes, I've heard statements like, God gave the land to the Jewish people as an eternal possession. And I always was troubled by such a statement, and I ended up writing my PhD on the subject of the promised land theology, especially as someone who still teaches at an evangelical college. You know, I wanted as if to show that the Bible is innocent. And so I've engaged so much with that study. Does the Bible, again, you know, statements like the land belongs to the Jews by divine right or something like that. Is this what the Bible teaches? So I did, as I said, my PhD on this topic. I studied both the Hebrew scripture and New Testament, Greek and Hebrew. You can read my writings on this topic. I asked questions, what are the boundaries of the land? Why did God give the land? Was it conditional or unconditional? Who receives the promises? We simply assume that it's a certain ethnic community that receives the promises. Is it so? Who are Abraham's offspring? What does Jesus say about this? How does Jesus interpret these promises? Who is Abraham's offspring according to Jesus? Who receives the promises? And so on. And I've done so many debates online. You can find some of these debates with Christian Zionists and others. You know, to our best capacity, we engage with that question. And part of the engagement with that question is, as I said, the idea is, could it be, I mean, if that is true, then what is the gospel for the Palestinians? If God indeed gave the land to the Jews, does God favor one people over the other? Does God have a special plan for one people and another for another people? The idea, for example, that Israel is a fulfillment of prophecy made us wonder, why would God do this to us just in order to fulfill a prophecy as Palestinians? Because when Israel was created, the land was not empty. Israel was created on our expense. The idea that the state of Israel is a sign of God's faithfulness to the Jewish people, then God is against us as Palestinians. So all of these questions were part of the theology of the land question. Until at one point, and I remember as I was debating one Christian Zionist friend, it hit me so hard, like people are dying in the street and we're debating Romans 9 to 11. We're debating Galatians 3. And this was part of my evangelical upbringing. This was part of my evangelical worldview, that you have to do proof texting and do exegesis. And, you know, if you know Romans 9 to 11, there are as many interpretations to that passage than there are maybe words in that passage. And we somehow think we have to figure out that interpretation in order to get it right. Until it hit me, you know, what are we doing to bring peace? Is this the best we could offer as Christians when it comes to peacemaking in the land? I usually make this joke in Palestine, and I can't believe I'm actually in Texas making this joke today, because it's about Texas. I always say, imagine if a tribe from Mexico comes to Texas and says, we have this religion that 4,000 years ago, a deity promised Texas to us, so you Texans all leave, Texas belongs to us. We would say this is ridiculous, right? This is what's happening today in the Middle East. This is what's happening in our land. And somehow, we will fall into the trap of going and debating, is this right or is this not? And in the midst, we forgot God's most important commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. God's commandment, blessed are the peacemakers. What Jesus said in the Beatitudes, blessed are those who are thirsty for righteousness, for justice, for truth. Does justice matter? Because at the end of the day, I don't care what theology you have. If that theology trumps the ethical teachings of Jesus of justice, of equality, of truth, then there is something seriously wrong with that theology. If theology doesn't serve to bring us closer to God and to our neighbor, then there is something seriously wrong with that theology. And so gradually I continue to study the Sermon on the Mountain, and there you learn about peacemaking as speaking truth to power. Peacemaking as challenging oppression, as calling things by their name. What we have in Palestine today, we began to give theological, even Christian ethical terms to it. The occupation of our land by Israel, the Kairos Palestine document, a Palestinian Christian theology document, says it's a sin against God and humanity because it distorts the image of God in both the Palestinians and the Israelis. And many other applications in the sense that, you know, you begin to look at your reality through the sense of your faith and you try to interpret that reality. At the Bible College, we lead a movement called Christ at the Checkpoint. It's a conference we do every 2 years asking the question, what would Jesus do if he is to stand in front of a checkpoint today? What would he say to the Palestinian who sometimes lines up there at 4 a.m. just to try to get a job and faces so daily humiliation? What would he say to the Israeli soldier, 18-year-old kids who, you know, grew up in this system of oppressing others? The importance of Christ at the Checkpoint is that we're trying to have a conversation between our faith and our reality. We don't write theology in libraries in Palestine. We write theologies at checkpoints, next to walls. Our terminologies in our theologies include words like occupation, segregation, walls, apartheid, justice, reconciliation, peacemaking. These are the things that we need to challenge, wrestle with when we open the Bible and we try to make sense of our faith, rather than, you know, continue to talk, as unfortunately, as Reverend Jack said, many evangelicals still do talk about in prophecy, biblical prophecy, and prophecy fulfillment, and so many other. We need to have this shift in our thinking as Christians. And in conclusion, I think one of the things that really needs to happen is that, I'll be very blunt, why American Christians need to listen to other voices. I wrote a book called The Other Side of the Wall. And in it, I don't just talk about our story as Palestinian Christians or the way we read the Bible, but our theology, the perspective that comes from our side of the wall. For many years, people looked at our theology as, you know, a cool contextual theology. By the way, let me give you some breaking news. Your theology is as contextual as ours. The difference is that we recognize it and we admit it. You need to listen to other voices. You need to listen to how people in other contexts interpret and read scripture. And in particular, in context of suffering and oppression in the shadow of empires. Because by the way, that's where the Bible was written. I'll leave that to my colleague, Reverend Mitri, who wrote the whole thing, developed such a theology of faith in the face of the empire. If you want to really get closer to the environment in which the Bible was written, you have to, you know, visit people who are suffering, who are facing the yoke of occupation and empire. That's where the Bible comes alive. That's where the Bible comes in full color, and you are able to understand it. So I hope in these 10 minutes, I am both a teacher and a preacher, so I hope you saw both of that in my 10 minutes, and I look forward to engage more with you in the Q&A questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Reverend Isaac. This final speaker is Reverend Dr. Mitri Raheb, who is very well-known, very prolific Palestinian theologian. He writes heavily about Palestinian liberation theology, as well as a wealth of other subjects in his 40 books that he has written, authored, or edited. He also comes to us as the founder and the president of Dar HaKalima University in Bethlehem and the co-founder of Bright Star Bethlehem, which is a nonprofit based in the United States that helps to support Palestinian creatives and scholars. So please welcome up Dr. Raheb.
Thank you, Lauren, and good evening. Great to be with you all. Actually, my three colleagues said everything, so what more can I add to that? But maybe let me share with you a bit of a personal story, and then I hope we can engage in dialogue. I was born in Bethlehem, not Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, but I mean, right, the real one, Bethlehem, Palestine. I grew up there, and I went to study theology in Germany. And I did all my studies. I almost spent 8 years there. Did my doctorate at the end in church history and came back to Palestine 1987 in May. And 6 months later, the first Intifada started. At that time, actually, I taught at the Bible College, and so Reverend Jack was one of my students. I came back thinking, you know, I was the first one in our church to have a doctorate, to have it from Germany. You know, Germans think they do real theology, right? And everyone else is doing contextual theology, right? Subtropical theologies, right? So I came back thinking I have, you know, all the answers to all the questions that our Christian community is facing. 6 months later, the first Intifada started, and I realized our people in Palestine have different questions. So the answers I brought from Germany did not fit, didn't make any sense. And I guess, and here I'm speaking especially to the students in Fuller Seminary. I know many of you are coming from so many different countries. You know, you have to listen to your people. If you don't listen to your people, you can forget about the theology. And that is actually as important as listening to God. Maybe I'm saying here too much. To Fuller Seminary, I'm glad. I hope I will be able to get out without any problem. And during that Intifada, I really started listening to what's happening around me. And I will give you just maybe one or two examples. So I was having a youth group. We were gathering every Friday, praying, reading the Bible, singing. And one day, one of our youth, his name is George, he was 17 years old. At night, the Israeli soldiers came and detained him. Without charges, without trial, they call this administrative detention. And Israel actually can detain people, Palestinians, for 6 months without charges. And that 6 months can be, they can renew it. And so George actually spent 3 years in that detention. It was in the desert, in the Negev desert, where, you know, it's very hot during the day and it's very cold during night. And we were really worried about George. We were, you know, sitting there praying for George, thinking, how is he doing? And one day we received a letter from George. Now, Palestinians were not allowed at that time to write letters and to send, to get them out of the jail. So they have to be very creative how to do that. Actually, you know, they were getting every prisoner's 2 cigarettes a day. And then the Palestinian prisoners will take the paper, you know, the very thin paper, and write on it. But how to get it out? Because they will strip search everyone who was going out. They have to be, again, creative. They will take the, you know, the nylon around, you know, the cigarette box, and then with some fire, they will seal it. So they will put the letter, very tiny letter, in it, seal it, and then everyone who's going out will swallow 20 or 30 of these capsules. So you can imagine, I will not go into details, okay? So we got this letter, it's as small as this, from George, and we were, amazed, speechless, because it wasn't like George was crying, asking for help. Those were actually words of hope, telling us, you know, you have to stick, you have to continue with your Bible study. Don't give up, you know. And, you know, 8 years in Germany, actually, I never understood the letters of Paul like when I received this letter. Because I could suddenly understand, actually, how these letters, how many letters of Paul were written in prison, right? Suddenly, I could understand the context in which Paul actually wrote these letters. And why this book, actually, the whole Bible, not only the letters of Paul, the whole Bible, actually, that was written under one occupation after the other. You know, you have the Assyrian occupation. And then you have the Babylonian occupation. And then you have the Persians. And then you have the Greek. And then you have the Romans, right? So over these 1,000 years, the Bible was written in this, you know, under much oppression, occupation. But the Bible actually speaks words of hope, not of distress. And only I started actually understanding and valuing the Bible the moment I started reading, you know, the letters that George was sending us. And so, actually, if you want to understand what the Israelites of the Bible, not the Israeli of today, these are two different things, okay? If you want to understand what the Israelites of the Bible went through and what the words in the Bible meant, listening to the Palestinians is of utmost importance. Because the Palestinians today live in a similar context like the Israelites of the Bible. And the state of Israel today is like Babylon and Assyria, who are the occupiers. So basically, we have to turn everything upside down if we want to understand the Bible. And if we don't do this math, then we create lots of mess. And then we support the empire, started actually understanding that the Bible meant something totally different. And I tell you, those of you who were in Jerusalem, you know, the Bible is like, you know, this, you know, bazaar of the old city in Jerusalem. You can find everything there. So if you want to find ethnic cleansing, go to the book of Joshua, right? But if you want to find liberation, hope, you can find it there as well. What you find does not say much about the Bible It says more about us. So whenever I hear somebody, a Christian Zionist, who support the occupation, I know that's not the Bible. What this is what he is saying, and he is weaponizing the Bible towards that end. And so we need to be really very, very clear about that. That is the Bible a book for occupation or liberation? Actually, you answer that. And the way you answer it speaks more about you than about the Bible. Thank you very much.
What you just heard were the remarks delivered by four esteemed Palestinian Christian leaders from Bethlehem, Palestine, who spoke in Houston, Texas at an event organized by Churches for Middle East Peace and Fuller Seminary Houston on February 16, 2023, that I attended and recorded. You're listening to Arab Voices, coming to you from the studios of KPFT Houston since 2002. This is Saeed, executive producer and host of Arab Voices. Did you know that this program, Arab Voices, has been on the air since April 2002? That's right, over 21 years of weekly Arab Voices programming, over 1,000 episodes covering different topics, with more than 1,000 expert guests appearing on this show from around the globe. All of that has been possible because of your support to KPFT, Houston's community station, our community radio station. And it is time for the membership drive. Please call right now to support KPFT at 713-526-5738 and make a tax-deductible contribution or make it online at kpft.org. Every dollar counts. Think of the value you get out of KPFT and really for everyone who listens. We know that not everyone can contribute, but if you can and appreciate what KPFT brings you every day, please consider a pledge, because KPFT relies on you, the listeners, for support. The phones are open. There is room for your call. Help keep up the momentum. Call 713-526-5738 or do it online at kpft.org. I'd like to thank all who called in to support KPFT and Arab Voices. It's not too late. 713-526-5738. Or make that tax-deductible contribution online at kpft.org. Thank you very much. You've been listening to Arab Voices, originating on KPFT Houston and syndicated on other radio stations in different cities in the U.S. and Europe. Our shows are archived online, and you can listen to them by visiting arabvoices.net. And that does it for the show today. Thanks for listening. This is Saeed, executive producer and host of Arab Voices. Until we meet next week, peace on earth.